A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello and welcome to Made by Mamas, the podcast. I'm Zoe.
And I'm Georgia.
And we're here talking all things parenthood. You know, the real conversations.
Tips and tricks.
Products we love.
And brands we can't live without.
Let's get into it.
The first podcast from your new house.
Well, I need to start off by apologising because I'm currently sitting in a very empty room surrounded by boxes and I know it's a bit echoey, so I'm sorry about the sound today. But it's taken me an hour to locate laptop, and then I was like, I've got my laptop, and then I was like, where's my charger? Oh God, where's the microphone? Oh no, the kids started screaming, Doz is not back, and I'm like, this is not going to go well. So I'm really sorry about this, but I'm here. We made it.
Do you know what? It doesn't sound too echoey, and I'm so, how are you recording the day after you moved in? Like, internet,
internet. I'm tethering my phone to it. This is real commitment here, guys. So it could drop off at any moment. Do you know what though, Georgia? It is so nice to be in our house. I can't tell you how long I've waited to do this. And now it's happening. And to be honest with you, I feel like this is quite common, because I've been speaking to a couple of friends when we came to see the house before we had any of our stuff in it. It was so empty, and I was like, oh my God, what have we done? You know, it just looked really sad, and
yeah,
it was a rainy day, and I was like, oh no. But now already I've been unpacking the last 24 hours. I've done the kitchen, I've done the bathroom, like the kids are kind of setting up. You know, it's just feeling like home already. And yeah. I slept through for the first time in months last night. So that's a good sign, isn't it?
It's because getting married and moving house is the most stressful thing you will ever do in your life.
Right.
And that's because you've just done it. So
yeah.
There we go.
Yeah. But I'm okay. I'm quite chilled. I'm drinking a lot of alcohol. But did you see my Insta stories? How amazing are my shelves looking?
I know. I mean, I am a bit concerned that we've like personality swapped, because
yes.
After this, I'm going to the pub and Zoe's organising shelves and baking at the weekend. I mean, we need to somehow like knock heads and swap back at some point.
Don't worry. I plan on getting quite shit-faced tonight, so it'll be fine. I'll be back
tomorrow.
My irresponsible self before you know it. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm fine. This is the end of my working week today, so that's nice. I'm with Gigi tomorrow. I've got
so that's not so nice.
No, that's not so great. I've got babysitter in the other room taking, like, getting the kids to bed, hopefully. So again, apologies
well done, George.
Can hear like screaming. Judgy James isn't here. It's just a juggle, isn't it? I mean, it really is a proper juggle.
Big time. But you know what? I feel like we're flying the flag for that. And, you know, this Q&A that we're doing today, we actually recorded this a couple of months back, and it's all around business. And yeah. I think you and I, George, you know, we massively promote that here at Made by Mamas. And that is not necessarily the corporate world, 9 to 5. That might be a business that you're doing from home, like Georgia and I, or, you know, something that you're doing with your mate, or whatever it is, whatever it looks like to you, creating a business out of being parents like we did. You know, as long as you're finding something that you love and you're able to do it around all of your other millions of things, I just think it's so great.
I know, exactly. And do you know what? The hardest thing is starting. And we would never have imagined that we, you know, however many years on, 3 years on, we'd have a podcast out twice a week. We'd have built up such an amazing community. I think that's the thing, isn't it? You just got to start. Like, if you've got an idea, it doesn't matter if it's perfect. It's literally like, just start. Like, that's the hardest thing to do, is just ripping the bandage off, or ripping the plaster off, whatever it is. I don't know the saying.
Ripping the bandage off and getting it tangled all around your legs and arms.
Yeah, I mean, don't do that. Just get stuck in.
Well, you and I, like, let's be honest here. We started in 2018. We formed the business. That was kind of when we officially sort of launched. And really, 2017, 2018, we weren't earning any money for the first couple of years. It was a real labor of love. And actually, I think what's great about, you know, you and I, George, is that, and for anybody listening that's thinking, oh, I'm not sure if I can do it, you spur me on, and hopefully I do the same for you. I don't think I could do it by myself. Hats off to anybody that is running a business on their own, because I mean, I find it impossible to do everything. It's like, together we make one brain. We're like Ren and Stimpy, aren't we?
I love all our analogies tonight. I mean, do you know what? No, it's so true. I wouldn't be able to do it myself. I know I wouldn't be motivated to do something by myself. I don't think. I think it's, and also as parents, it's so nice to have somebody else to bounce off of, especially, you know, like, stuff does happen, like kids get sick, kids are unpredictable. And if you've got somebody else kind of who's got your back, who understands the position you're in, it just works so much better.
Yeah. And I think there's a lot of fear around, you know, there definitely was for me when I had Luna, about getting back into the working world. You know, I was terrified about, you know, whether I would have the mental capacity to be able to do my job, whether people would look at me in the same way, whether I would still be booked for the jobs that I was being booked for before. I carried around a lot of fear around it. And I think that's a lot of mothers' realities, actually.
Yeah.
And so this, I'll be honest with you, this is the first time in my whole life that I am creating something that I have complete control over with the person that I adore, you. We're completely on the same wavelength in that sort of arena. But nobody else is saying to me, oh, you can't do that because of X, Y, and Z, or, you know, no, you can't go and pick your kid up from school because you've got to be here doing this. It's like, we make up the rules. And I think if you are thinking about starting something because, you know, you can't be put in a box because of your setup at home, you know, a great chance to do it now because of the whole way that the working world has changed.
Yeah, absolutely. And if you are on mat leave now, I think there's quite a lot of pressure sometimes, isn't there, to like come up with your business idea while you're on mat leave. And you know, it doesn't always work like that, but I do think that if you have got an idea and you're on mat leave and you could maybe do just a couple of things to make those first steps, now is the time, and it's almost like time to take the plunge. You might have already like had to take, you know, a salary cut being on mat leave, so if you're gonna do it, it's probably good to just do it now and just kind of strike while the iron's hot and while you're already kind of having to, I guess, cut back on things. And because it's hard once you go back into work or go back into like a secure job, it's very difficult to leave. But it's not impossible. It's really,
it's not
impossible. I mean, I did it.
And also I think that the little ideas which you might think, oh, that's not a business idea, It's like a seed that you plant without trying to sound cheesy. It's you know, we is it Hackney Brownies or Hackney Kitchen? I think she started sort of cooking
Hackney
on.
Hackney Kitchen.
Yeah, and she made these incredible brownies. Now she's got this amazing business where she's, you know, making, you know, hundreds of brownies every single week and sending them out to people. And it's just those little ideas that you might think don't have legs. Just give it, you know, maybe give it a whirl.
And also, like our guest that we're going to chat to in a minute, some of those little ideas turn into massive, massive ideas and end up in the hands of people like Beyonce.
So true, right? I mean, the lady that we're talking to today, Lucy, she is the founder of Never Fully Dressed. Now, Never Fully Dressed is a brand that Georgia and I'm sure you guys have heard of them as well. She makes the most insane clothes. What about those prints?
Oh,
on the,
I know,
dresses.
There's been so many things that she's just been known for. Like, was it the wrap skirts at first that you could wear in so many different ways? And now on their website, they always kind of show, oh, this is breastfeeding friendly and this is bump friendly. And I just really love the way they do that. And also just, it's not like anything else. Like,
no.
Their dresses are not like anything else on the high street. You almost know, even just by looking at someone, oh, that's from Never Fully Dressed.
Yeah,
that,
totally.
I
love Lucy's story as well, George, because she started off working with her parents on a market stall in London.
Yeah.
She was in East London. She used to go down there every weekend. She was literally on a market stall, like loved clothes, was really involved with, you know, fabrics and prints and everything from a really early age, and then just basically got a sewing machine out and was like, I can do this. And now her business, well, I mean, it's global. And she's just launched her mini me business as well.
Oh,
so there's
I know.
Amazing children's wear range there as well. It's so cute.
It is so cute. I've actually ordered a few bits for me and Gigi.
I bet you
have. Of course.
If
I could get Axel in a dress, then I'll do that as well. But I don't think he's up for that anymore. But yeah, do you know what? She's really inspiring. She's not afraid of hard work. And I think that really comes across. You know, she is super ambitious. She just gives it her all. And hopefully we asked her lots of questions. Hopefully some of it will be really useful for you if you are, you know, if you are wanting to start a business or just interested in business. Should we get into it?
So Georgia and I love chatting to amazing, inspiring parents on this podcast. In fact, we were saying this yesterday that it really makes us want to up our game more when we chat to all these incredible people. And today, the lady that we're chatting to, basically, she's the ultimate mum boss. She started her now global company back in 2009. She dresses some of the most amazing women in the world. She's got 3 children under 4, which just saying it out loud makes me feel slightly sick. Today, we are talking to Lucy Aylin from Never Fully Dressed. Have I said your surname right?
Amazing. Yeah, that's perfect. You can keep talking. That was all amazing. As I say, I'll sit back and listen to that again. Yeah.
Lucy, for those who don't know your background and how you started the business, can you just kind of take us back to where it all started, how you started, and, you know, your story?
I used to want to act, and then, like most unemployed actresses or actors, whatever, you have to then look for another job. So I was a waitress for a bit, and then my mum said I need to do something proper, really. So I was living at home at the time and turned her loft into our office, where I used to sew little bits. I've always been creative, so I used to make clothes, and my parents were market traders, so I was brought up like down the Roman in the East End or Walthamstow or whatever at the market. So I just had that in my blood, I think, naturally. And I started at Portobello Road, Spitalfields, just selling kind of customised bits and bobs. At that time, I still used to, for a few years, actually, while I had the market, I think I was really focused. And then after that, this was before social media, so we kind of grew with Instagram and stuff. That came about a couple of years later. But I think I was still in and out of it. And then again, my mum was like, you're devaluing my house, you need to get out of the loft. And like, dragging suitcases up and down like threadbare stairs after years. She was like, you've got to get out. So we took a little shop, and to me, I didn't want a shop. But if the front of the shop paid for the rent and we could just use that as an office, then that was a bonus. So that was about 5, I don't count last year. So without that, it was about 5 years ago. And from then, it's just grown from strength to strength, really. And I say really grown with social media and how we use that and our community that we have there. I think that's where we've seen our growth, really, and who we can reach.
What was life like for you, like growing up on a kind of, you know, in a market, on a market stall? Was that every weekend? You know, your parents must have worked their socks off. So what was that experience like for you?
That's what I always say. I think I'm not the best designer. I'm not the best at anything, but I was just brought up like learning how to work hard. Like my I'm 1 of 5, but my older brother and sister as well have just worked so hard. I've got younger twins as well, but it was just fun, really. Like there was no choice. Do you know what I mean? Like my mum just worked every day. I'll have someone different picking me up from school every day, but you didn't care. You never felt sorry for yourself then. Whereas, it is what it is. So we just grew up, and there'd be like spare tills in the back of the shop, and you'd just sit there looking forward to, I used to be in like the kids club at Burger King or all of these unhealthy things that nowadays you would never send your kid to, like a fast food kids club.
But you did, that's amazing.
I used to go and spend loads of money on the photo machines in Woolworths.
Yes.
I used to go and do that every Saturday. That was like the best thing to do in the day. used to play shops, and yeah, it was quite fun, I suppose. You never thought about it. It was what it was.
So when you had your first baby, how did you juggle it? Like, you know, you're pregnant, you're having a baby, you're going through like all those emotions of being a first time mum and then growing a business on the side. What did that look like? Did you get help? Like, how did you manage it?
I had it in my head. I was adamant I wanted a Spanish nanny so he could be bilingual, not that I even speak Spanish or anything at all. So I struggled with childcare because I was really had it in my head that I wanted to find this certain person, which I didn't. I think that was probably the hardest child. Obviously, one, I think it gets relatively easier as you have more, maybe until you get to like seven or I don't know. But that first one, I think the business wasn't as financially stable then either. So to say 4 years ago, obviously I was pregnant for a year. It was just at the like a bit of a turning point. So I couldn't afford help, but like for a nanny, or those costs were still quite high for us. I moved house at that time as well. So I moved into like an absolute project, which is still going. Yeah, and you didn't have the support. Whereas now, so I've got an amazing nanny, or I've got amazing staff and a bigger support network that I can rely on for other things. Whereas then I didn't. So yeah, you just juggle it, really. He came to work a lot with me, to be honest. So he'd just come in, I'd have a little bouncer at work, and it was when he like started to get bored with playing with a bunch of keys that I thought, okay, I've got to look at maybe, yeah, nurseries and stuff for him.
Yeah, I think, do you know what? So many of us feel really guilty when we become parents about going out to work and leaving the kids, like, as you say, like in kids clubs or in the creche or at nursery. And actually, like, you're living proof that, you know, working hard and showing your kids how to work hard, actually, like, there is no bigger gift that you can give them.
No, I do. I do think it's a different kind of education. A little bit now, I think the last year, kids again have had a different education. If they're not at school, they're not learning so much the set history and geography, but they might be learning how to bake with their mum or how to do the washing and things like that.
Yeah,
we never learn. Do you know what I mean? Before, that's not in the curriculum, which I think we should address, but like how to change a plug or wash the car. I don't know, all of those things I think come into a different education that maybe we've gone back in time that is just as valuable.
Yeah, no. So tell us a little bit about the children's wear. We want to get on to, you know, your tips for starting a business, but I think people would like to hear about the children's wear and what, you know, what the thinking is behind it.
Just I think last year people either got divorced or got pregnant. Like that it was either you like picked what way to go in your lockdown, alcoholic or like gym obsessive. So yeah, we knew that there would be a baby boom. And yeah, our core customer is, say, 30 to 45 plus, if anything, and they just are of that age, like myself, staff, friends, family, like everyone's having kids or have friends who are and around that age. So we just thought it'd be a natural progression. Our prints are so fun and just lend themselves to children's wear, I think. So it just felt quite fun. And I think we tried a few new areas last year and they seemed to work well. So for us, it's a small risk. It's not a crazy investment to do. We use a lot of our existing factories and they make smaller versions of the clothing. And we'll see how it goes.
And I guess everyone loves to twin at the moment, don't they?
Yeah, there's a nice nod. So it might be like a cardigan for mum and then a little baby grow or a matching swaddling for baby.
Yeah.
So it's not always exact mini me, but I've had a meeting this morning and it's showing the May range and there's like mum, girl, and like baby, and it's just so beautiful. I just need to rent like a 6-year-old whenever we go out so we can all wear it.
We'll be back with our guest after this small break.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Lucy, I think particularly this year, there's going to be a lot of parents listening to this who may have been in, you know, sort of normal jobs per se. And now they're thinking, you know, they want to turn their side hustle into a business or they want to start something. What are your tips for someone who is looking to start a business?
Yeah, know that that is really what you want to do. Be committed to it. Enjoy it, I think, is number one. I think because if you, especially from the off, if you're resenting it or it becomes, yeah, you lose that passion, I think that's tough to keep it going because there will be days where it's not making money or days where, you've not slept, you've been up all night doing stuff. I think if you're passionate about it and you're confident in that growth, I think that's really key. And then also, I think to just aim high, really think where you want to go because I never had a business plan. I kind of just started and then, okay, this was a nice... Like I was quite hand to mouth. It just paid for my living. And then it was only, I say really about 5 years ago that I thought, okay, where do we want to go with this? How do I work back from that? And I think then we saw much, what's it called, like faster growth. I wish I aimed higher back then and committed to that. I think I never thought that through. So I think just go for it. Do you know what I mean? There's no one else that can do what you've done. And don't, underestimate that you're bringing to the table. I think, again, we've never had investment, so I've never gone down that route of having to pitch to people or whatever. But if people are looking for investment, as a creative, often we don't have that business brain as well. And I think you can, I remember the first meeting, I say we didn't go with it, but the first meeting like that I had, and I just felt really, it's normally like middle-aged white men that are standing there and you're asking for their money. And it can be intimidating. And you question the thing that you're bringing to the table. But you've got the bit of magic. You've got the product or the brand or whatever that these people want to make their money in for them. Like both parties are going to benefit out of this. But I think really just be confident in it takes a lot of balls, I think, to start a business and to do that. And a lot of those businessy people couldn't do that. I mean, they deal with other people's businesses. So I think it's, just be really confident in yourself and what you've created. It's like 2 days old, like you've taken that first big step.
Lucy, we thought it could be quite fun, seeing as you're now being hailed as like our business guru. We asked our followers to send in their sort of work-related questions. So this is from Victoria. Currently on mat leave, wanting to go freelance, is now the time?
It's a tough one. I think, one, if you've had mat leave, I think if I know from my friend who's just got a job in the city, like when someone's messaged, like if they're applying for a job, as an employer, I know it's terrible. And I think there should be so much more intervention from the government with this, like to support women getting back into work and providing, like I would love a creche at work to help. But
yeah,
at the same time, you're flexible now. So I think what else, I think it would be tough for you to go and get a full-time job. You're at home, so go for it. Do you know what I mean? But I think it's been a really tough year for people, especially if it's their first baby, to have that mat leave. They feel like it's been robbed from them. They've not been able to do the classes and do stuff that they would have enjoyed. So plunge yourself into that freelance work that you do enjoy. At least get some fulfillment there.
Nice. Love that. How to manage your workload so that you are not working unreasonable hours? I work 50 plus hours a week.
Just be more concise when you work. I feed this back with staff a lot. And I think that comes, I don't know how old this, like the person who asked this question is, but I think that does come with maturity and like experience within your role. So I'm even learning that now. Like there's no point in working 6 a.m. till 10 at night if you're not being tight. Do you know what I mean? Like a lot of people just, they're not concise in what they're doing. So it's actually they don't manage their time well at all. Whereas they could probably do that day in 6 hours and be so much more efficient. I think people really struggle with time management. And I do think it comes with experience. I didn't realise maybe I wasn't as good as that before. Now I say I'm much tighter with my schedule. Stop waffling. Do you know what I mean?
Be more concise
in what you're doing. Yeah, just be more concise and you'll realise you'll shave hours off that day just naturally, and you'll feel better about what you're doing. It'll be more rewarding.
Yeah. Do you know what? I think that's something that we learn when we become parents as well, like how to use your time effectively. Like in those 2 hour naps, like those 2 hour lunchtime naps, the stuff you can get done.
You've saved the world. Yeah, no, I know.
You've literally flipped the house
on roller skates. You don't have the time. So you're forced into making that decision. Shall I go to the toilet? Shall I shower?
Like, which is the priority. Exactly.
Yeah, but you do, and then you make that decision. Whereas sometimes in work where you have all that time, you feel like it's a bit of a luxury, but it's not. It's quite detrimental, I think, and you're not working as well.
Yeah, as efficiently, absolutely. This is an interesting one. It's something that I talk about with my friends a lot, and I wonder if you have these conversations too. Kids are ill. Which parent takes the time off work?
mine would be the dad, I think, because in our setup, like, it's easier. Sometimes I might have meetings or shoots, which is too costly for me not to be on. Whereas what happens, a roofer who, like, is quite manual. So it's still annoying for him, but he could move a job about easier than myself. But again, I think it just depends on your setup, and the answer would come naturally to whatever your relationship was. Like my brother, I was saying in a meeting earlier, my brother's never changed a nappy in his life. He's got three girls, whereas my husband's always been hands-on. I think when I used to have to travel with work before we had a nanny, he would just have the kids like day and night. So, yeah, I think you know the answer in your gut, I think.
Yeah, what works for your family.
Does any stuff come up for him around that, or is he totally 100% on board with it?
I think it's tough because I think my sister's the same. My sister, our husbands will be annoyed saying that, but like we're both the breadwinners in the relationships. Like they both have good jobs as well and work hard. But I do think there is something. I mean, we've never really discussed this, my husband and I. This is like our therapy session right now. But like there must be something emasculating in that for him. And my sister and I do struggle sometimes. I say with our partners that I think there is something for them that, of course, it's traditional. Man would want to be that provider. So I think subconsciously there must be things that arise within that. But in our setup, my husband knows that financially for us as a family, that would be more important for me to do my job than him to do his. So we just accept that.
Yeah, I love that. Sounds mega. Love this from Rosie. Tips for juggling work, toddler and housework. I think you kind of answered that with you've got to be more structured, haven't you?
Yep. Just give up as well with the housework. Like, as long as you've got bleach down the toilet, do you know what I mean?
I
think the amount of times that I'd pick those toys up off the floor and you turn your back and they're just back down there. So I think just don't give yourself a hard time about that. I mean, as long as your bathrooms and your kitchen are clean, you're all right.
Focus on the bathroom and kitchen. So this is something for you with your boss hat. I think a lot of people, when they come back from maternity leave, want to, you know, go to their employer and ask for either part-time hours, flexible hours, just flexible, flexible time.
Flexibility,
How, you know, as an employer, how would you want staff to approach this with you, and what's the best way to do this?
I think it's tough. I think, again, I really feel strongly that there should be more government intervention with getting women back to work. Like, I don't understand, say, companies like ASOS, where probably the majority are women, why there's creches and stuff and support. So, I mean, our buyer has had a little girl a couple of months after me, and she can bring her baby into work or whatever. I think it's different if you can still do your job with children around. But I think, again, working from home has taught us that kids are about. I think just be honest from the off as well. I think there's so much pressure before you take your mat leave, you want to say, I'm coming back full time and I'm going to do that. But you know that things change after you have your baby. So I think just be honest from the off, or maybe they do, their intention is to come back and then things change, especially if it's their first baby. Maybe they don't know that it's going to change. Just be honest with what you're after. Don't say you want 4 days when you really want three.
Yeah.
And if you want three, if I want you enough, like working for us, then I'd make it work. But again, I think I've got a different, we're not a corporate business like that. And again, the setup, the last year has taught us that flexibility can sometimes be the most productive and a fruitful way of working. So for me, I would, if I want that member of staff, which I do, I value all of our staff that I'll try and make it work for you. But I think in a more corporate structure, that might be more difficult. I say where men don't relate as much, maybe.
I guess it's just about being upfront and honest about what you want, isn't it? And having that conversation with your employer as soon as you can.
Someone started working for us again, and she used to work for us. And I think it got a bit much before. And then she had a second daughter. And when she came back to work, she was like, I don't want to be on WhatsApp groups after 5 o'clock. Like, that wouldn't then have suited her life. So it was, okay, sweet, then that job isn't right for you, but let's do this. Do you know what I mean? So I think just really being honest with yourself and your boss about what you're looking for.
I love that from you. I love your attitude about it as well. It's kind of like, you know what, this is what I want, so hear what I want. And if you don't like what I want, I'm going to go and get something else anyway. So you're very ballsy, which I think a lot of people, you know, can take from, which I like. I like your balls, your cojones, as they say in Spanish. What sort of things do you do with your husband, i.e. date nights, etc.? How do you keep it special? That's from Molly.
Actually, my mum, it's my birthday the weekend. My mum is having the kids, like, to watch them sleep, so we can just sleep. That would be ideal. I remember in between lockdowns, we had a night off, and so we went to a hotel. We were literally in bed by 8, and that was our treat. Do you know what I mean?
That was your date night.
To sleep, yeah, to sleep was just the best.
We've had quite a lot of questions on mum guilt, and how do you deal with the guilt of working full time and, you know, sending your kids to nursery 5 days a week? This person said, I love work, but I feel bad.
Yeah, I struggled to relate. Like, honestly, I wish, but I've never really had it. I think with the baby, I think maybe because I thought she might be my last was the only time I was like, oh, okay, I want to enjoy every moment, and because I don't think I'll have another baby that does those steps. But in a way, I think that's selfish of me. It was just me to enjoy. It wasn't that I felt bad on her that I was going to work, because she wouldn't miss me. Do you know what I mean? She has a nice day anyway.
Yeah.
I think it was more I wanted to enjoy that time with her.
Yeah.
So that's where the guilt come from. But with the boys, I didn't really have. I say the kids, as long as they're, like, safe, they're happy. Like, they get on. It's like you take them to all these fancy holidays. If they were just in Benidorm or, like, wherever, just by in the sun playing around, they're happy. So yeah. I think just stop putting as much pressure on yourself. Like, I say kids enjoy anything. Like, do you know what I mean? They've done the same walk for a year now and they still enjoy it. They still get their sticks and do their same thing. Like, they're not that complicated. So I think really don't put that pressure on yourself to feel bad. I think you're teaching them, like, a great work ethic that will get them much further than singing group. I don't know, whatever you feel bad that you're not taking them to, I think, personally.
All right, Lucy, so lovely to chat to you. What an absolute treat. Thanks so much for giving us your expertise and your advice. It's been brilliant.
Thank you very much.
See, the problem is that when I speak to people like Lucy, and you and I are exactly the same, we start firing off messages to each other going, what about clothing range? What about skincare? What about this? And we're like, and then it just goes, doesn't it? You're like, I can do it all, which is great. But also, you know, it's kind of slowly catching monkey at the same time, isn't it? But she's so inspiring.
Oh, don't. But you know what as well? Like, she's so inspiring, but it was also nice to listen, you know, to her talking about dealing with guilt, putting your kids into nursery. She's very matter of fact, and for sure, not everybody's like that. It's not, you know, it's not always as clean cut as that. We've both had wobbles, haven't we, when it's come to, like, leaving our kids and stuff. But it's just nice when you see these successful women and successful parents, just to know the backstory and how it works. It's not just, oh, she's got her kids with her, she's got a nanny, she's got, you know, there's all these things that she's put in place that have enabled her to do this. And she's not doing it all, you know, you can't physically do it all. She's got a great support network around her,
which is the hardest thing, I think, which is something that we don't really talk about. I mean, not me and you, we talk about it a lot, but people don't tend to talk about how they make their businesses work in sort of intricate detail when it comes to the kids. Like, somebody asked me the other day, like, how do you make it work? And I'm like, well, because we've got Lucy. Lucy works for us on Wednesdays and Thursdays. She does the school pickup, which means that I get to work and I get a bit of extra time when they're not at preschool. You know, Monday they go to a childminder, Nana calls. Tuesday I have them, Friday afternoons I have them. Like, we just make it work. But they're, you know, I would never be able to do it by myself. But it's weird. People don't like to put their hands up and go, yeah, no, we've got childcare.
No, there's a thing about, like, nannies and having help at home. I don't know why. It's almost like people feel ashamed of it. But realistically, there's nothing you can do. Like that, you can't physically do it all. We all saw that when we were working from home in lockdown. It is impossible. And if you can, you know, if you can get a tiny bit of help. I mean, I've got Bubble Babysitter tonight. It's £9 an hour. And brilliant. She's here for like 3 or 4 hours just to help me, like bridge the gap between my day job, wanting to get ready by myself, even just stuff like that. I think, you know, us parents do deserve a little bit of help when we can get it.
Don't we just? Yeah. Now, Tuesday's episode is a really special one, so we can't wait to share that with you. If you do have any questions around today's Q&A, please drop us a DM. And as always, we would love you to rate, review, subscribe and follow the podcast. And of course, the photos, George.
Yeah, please keep tagging us where you're listening. I absolutely love it when I see kids in front of Peppa Pig, mum with the earphones in pretending to watch it, but really she's got us in her ears. Love it.
Yeah, I loved the one the other day where this lovely lady was like, yeah, I'm listening to Made by Mama's podcast, baby's asleep and I've got a McDonald's wrap in the front. And I was like, now that is a scene that I want to be involved in. It was brilliant.
It is. But does it not make you think we maybe need to not swear on these podcasts? Because how many mums have got their kids in the back? I do this when I'm listening to podcasts. I'm sometimes like, oh God, I'm going to have to turn this down.
I know, you're aiming that at me, aren't you? I need to stop swearing. Sorry, guys. I can't fucking help it. Right, George, back on Tuesday.
We'll see you on Tuesday.
Insanity Group.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hey, y'all. Darius Rucker here. You know, a lot of people ask me, what inspires your music? And one of the big things is a strong sense of place. That's why I love my home state of South Carolina and want to share the awesome things it has to offer. From the beautiful mountains down to the sunny coast, it's got it all. Not to mention two of my personal favorites, great golf and amazing food. Come see why I love this place. Visit discoversouthcarolina.com.